12 noon at Golden Gate University, 536 Mission Street in San Francisco. Donations will be accepted at the event. For questions, please call 1-800-448-4968.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 1 p.m., and up next is the LSB program.
Coming up on this month's report from the KPFA Local Station Board, we'll meet the newly elected chair of the Local Station Board, Margie Wilkinson. We'll hear from Pacifica National Board member Dan Siegel, local board treasurer Barbara Whipperman, and also speak to local board members Andrea Pritchett and David Gans, and we also have Henry Knorr in the studio. We'll be taking your called-in questions coming up the next hour. Stay with us. Good afternoon, and welcome to KPFA's Local Station Board Show, your chance to talk with your elected representatives about how the station's running. I'm Pamela Drake, your host for the next hour, and I'm a listener representative to KPFA's board. And with me are Margie Wilkinson, local board chair, and Barbara Whipperman, local board treasurer. Welcome, and let me tell you, I'm new to this. I'm not a radio personality as you're used to listening to, so bear with us. Margie, you're the newly elected chair of the LSB. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, how you think things are going on the LSB, and what are some of the hopes for the rest of the year that the LSB has?
Hello. Well, I worked on campus for 40 years, that is UC Berkeley. I helped grow two unions there for clerical employees. I participated in hundreds of grievances and several years of negotiations on contracts for clerical employees with our employer, one of the most backward employers in the state of California, the University of California. I had a lot of experience working in contentious situations, and I think people who approached me about coming on the LSB knew that and thought that perhaps I had some experience and could be somewhat helpful in the contentious situation at KPFA. I'm happy that I was elected chair. I enjoy the role. I like chairing meetings. I try to be fair and even-handed, even in the face of intense disagreement. I think our hopes for the LSB for this next year involve a number of things. Reestablishing local control, for example. Many of us feel that that's been lost. And reestablishing a collegial atmosphere on the board. Continue to have sharp differences on the board about the direction of the station, how to deal with our current financial situation, which is very difficult, and how to move forward. But I think that we need to figure out ways to work together, encompassing those differences, include being able to work together while we have differences. And one of the things that I found very hopeful was that at our most recent board meeting, we were able to vote to establish a committee to prepare for a mediated retreat for the LSB, and that motion passed without objection.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that myself, because I think it's something we really need to do, and hopefully will be a model for the rest of the station when we really work on mediating our disputes. And I understand we have Dan Siegel standing by. Dan is a Pacifica National Board member, and he's just been elected to the Pacifica National Board. He has been a KPFA listener representative. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about your election to the PNB? And how's your participation been today? What's been going on with that? Can you tell us, Dan?
Sure. Hi. First of all, hi, Pam. You know, I was elected to the Pacifica National Board in January, but the board refused to seat me on the grounds that I was a quote-unquote political appointee and held political office as a result of my working as a advisor to Gene Kwan, the mayor of Oakland. And despite efforts to work that out, we had no success and ultimately went to court. And the majority of the members on the KPFA local station board brought a lawsuit against Pacifica. And on March 22nd, Judge Roche issued a preliminary injunction requiring that I be seated, as well as the other people elected by the KPFA LSB. So that just happened a week ago. And since then, I've sat in on one closed session meeting, which unfortunately was mainly devoted to discussing my status. So not much business was done. This is a problem with the PNB. Too much time on governance, not enough time on improving the radio network's programming or its finances.
Well, as a new PNB rep, what kind of things do you think that the PNB should really be focusing on?
Well, you know, given that Pacifica is in a financial crisis, I think that one of the obligations of the PNB should be to raise money. Pacifica is a very unusual nonprofit in the sense that almost any other nonprofit that you would join the board, you would be required, in fact expected, to raise money for the organization. That's one of the main jobs as board members. And I'd like to see the PNB adopt a requirement setting a quota for each member to raise each year. In addition, I think that Pacifica has to start engaging in some serious national fundraising, whether that's through big events, such as the gala event that we had in Washington a couple of years ago, or direct mail, which is, again, starting up. But that should be a major focus. But I think the second major focus, obviously, is growing the listenership, which means improving the programming. I think KPFA has been really the best in the Pacifica network in terms of developing homegrown programming, both cultural programming as well as news and public affairs that really develop a listenership out there. I think we need to do that, and I think that the board should be spending its time figuring out how to help the stations develop programming rather than engaging in all these fights about who's in charge.
Well, I agree with you, and I did talk to our executive director, Arlene Engelhardt, recently and asked her if she was going to get involved with fundraising personally, and she promised that she would. So we'll be looking forward to that, hopefully. And I wanted to also ask you a question about the lawsuit. Do you have any idea how much money this may have ended up costing either Pacifica or the station?
Well, I don't think it's cost much money at this point. My understanding is that the attorney who represented Pacifica in the case did so as a volunteer. I don't know how much time Pacifica's general counsel, Ricardo Deanda, spent on the case, but I don't think this case, as opposed to some of the other cases that Pacifica has been involved in recently, cost the network very much money. And of course, my firm represented the plaintiffs on a pro bono basis.
Well, thanks for being with us, Dan. Do you have anything else you want to add before we go to the next interview?
Well, I just hope that people will continue to be involved. I want to see us strengthen our boards on a local and national basis, and that will require people who run for the board and hopefully are elected to the board to make the kind of commitment that many people have already made to work hard to improve Pacifica's finances, its programming, and to reach out to build the listenership.
Okay, thanks for that report, Dan, and we'll all be looking forward to more from the PNB and from our representatives who are thankfully now all seated, and now we're going to take a little break. This is the Local Station Board Report to the listeners, which airs the last Monday of every month at 1 p.m., and we will have plenty of time for listener call-ins, so hold on. Next, Laura Privis, who's a staff representative on the local board and the national board, spoke earlier today with Local Station Board member Andrea Pritchett, who is the chair of the Outreach Committee, and we'll hear from Andrea about the Outreach Committee and how you can get involved.
Andrea Pritchett is a listener representative on the KPFA local station board. She's a longtime activist and founder of Berkeley Cop Watch. Andrea, you're the chair of the local station board outreach committee. What does this committee do, and why have you made outreach one of your priorities in your work on the board?
Well, one of the reasons why outreach is so important is because we realize that if people don't already listen to KPFA, it's very hard to hear about it. So we're trying to get the word of mouth. We're trying to make human contact with new communities. So we've been meeting since May, and our main thing is just to get tabling happening at some of the events that go on in our area and in communities around. So it's going great. We actually have volunteers who will take the tables out to the protest, to the anti-war thing last week. A lot of the KPFA benefits that come up now, we have people in addition to, going to the various activities in the neighborhood. We also have folks who are actually at the KPFA events to let people know what's available in terms of other volunteer opportunities. We're trying to recruit people to be on the outreach committee. Things like the Green Festival, things like we have the New Living Expo is coming up on April 29th. And these are great places to meet folks. And, you know, many of our listeners sort of assume that everybody knows and loves KPFA. That's not true. There's new generations that need somebody to say, hey, have you ever heard of listener-sponsored radio? And have you ever thought of listening to something that didn't have a bunch of commercials punctuating it?
So what kind of folks have been working with you, and how can listeners get involved if they want to help?
Well, we've had some members of the LSB have been pitching in. We've got a couple folks who are just as pillars, just solid folks. Rick Sterling and Preen Kelly are two that leap to mind. But we've had a variety of just, like I say, listeners who are willing to either come to the meeting or just say, hey, call me when you're doing the tabling. So at the Art and Soul event in Oakland, we had folks, or at the People's Tribunal on Racism and State Violence, we had people. And it's great because we get to connect with the communities that are not already listening. So what we encourage people to do is come to a meeting. And we have our meetings, where our next meeting is going to be April 6th at 7 o'clock at 2022 Blake Street. And folks can always email us at kpfaoutreach@gmail.com. You know, some of the projects, we've got this tabling thing going, but we've got these other projects where we want to send speakers out to community organizations. to do like a 5 or 10 minute presentation about KPFA and about what we stand for and what kind of programming they could find there. And I believe that this is a way to grow the listener base. And I think as we're all stressing about the money and do we keep this whole thing in motion, extending the listener base is a strategy that I think is really going to suit us well.
And kind of on a little bit of a more personal note, why did you personally decide to run for the KPFA local station board? And what do you think the board needs to be concentrating on right now?
Well, I decided to run because I've been a listener and an activist for 20, 30 years. And KPFA is just so crucial to that effort. You know, for good, bad, or otherwise, KPFA is the radio station of the left, and it holds together a community that I'm a part of. I feel very much a part of it, and I want it to be a healthy and dynamic community. So I was hoping that I could make a positive contribution, and I think doing outreach is a really, meat and potatoes, steady way of doing the work that needs to be done. So I believe that KPFA actually we'll move forward when we all kind of realize that no matter what our opinions, no matter what our feelings about things are, if we roll up our sleeves and actually do the work, I think we might recover some lost camaraderie. And we might be able to not only have a healthy radio station, but a healthy community that's going to be able to make the changes in this country that need to be done. And so if we could figure out how to run this radio station, I think we could figure out how to run a movement and maybe even a country.
Andrea Pritchett, listener representative on the KPFA local station board, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And again, thanks to Andrea Pritchett. She's doing some great work on the outreach committee. And you can email the outreach committee at kpfaoutreach@gmail.com. That's kpfaoutreach@gmail. And we'll be right back. We're going to be talking to we're going to go right into talking to Barbara Whipperman, our treasurer. We were having a little trouble locating her earlier, but we've got her on the phone right now. So, Barbara, you are the treasurer on the local station board, which means you're not an elected member, but you have volunteered your time to help us out to understand KPFA's finances. We've got a couple questions for you. Can you tell us a little bit about what all the confusion is that we keep hearing about how KPFA's finances are doing, and give us some ideas of how we can understand it better? And I think you're going to tell us something about working on the budget a little earlier this year. Thanks. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm happy to be volunteering to do this job because I am also a longtime listener and a lover of KPFA. The finances are very complicated because of the fact that there are five stations and money funnels in and out of the national office. That's kind of a good way to look at it. We share certain expenses, and the national office handles certain expenses for us. The budgeting is a big part of what I'm going to be involved in. We set up a budget way ahead of time for the next fiscal year, and it's done collaboratively with all the stations working together. There are two representatives from each station on what's called the National Finance Committee. That's a committee, I guess you'd say it answers to, it's appointed by the Pacifica National Board. All the treasurers are on this committee, so that's five treasurers and five representatives from the stations. And the chief financial officer is also a voting member on that committee. The executive director is on the committee, but a non-voting position. And the budgeting process is quite lengthy. We're just beginning it now. I'm about to have a meeting with our business manager, whom I've met with on a number of occasions already, in order to make reports to the local station board. And now the business manager and I are going to start working on the layout that we need to look at in planning for the budget for next year. There are four members of the local station board who are going to be on a budget committee with me. Anthony Fest, Andrea Turner, Mal Bernstein, and Tracy Rosenberg. And Tracy Rosenberg is the chair of the National Finance Committee also. I've enjoyed uncovering some of the mysteries that we've had about our money and reporting it to the local station board at the past meetings. And
Barbara, that sounds intriguing. What kind of mysteries have you been uncovering?
Well, I'm hoping to even uncover a few more. We did have the explanation of the $375,000 check. People have heard about this. And if they want to know about the things that I uncovered, there is a recording on the KPFA LSB website for that meeting. It's a little hard sometimes to find the KPFA LSB website, mm-hmm. and I think the way you do it is you go up to the top menu, and you open About, mm-hmm. and then you open the LSB page, and if you roam around in there, you'll find the recordings and the minutes for past meetings.
I think you're talking about the February meeting in terms of that particular
discussion.
Yes,
the February meeting was the one where we talked about not only the often misspoken about $375,000 check, and also the often misspoken about an inability for KPFA to meet one of its payrolls in September. These facts are sometimes exaggerated and misused and, as I say, misspoken about. I hope people will listen to that recording and get the real skinny.
Okay, well, thank you very much for this report, and I know it's a lot more complicated and there's a lot more you could tell us, but this is a listener show, so mostly we're mm-hmm. going to be taking calls, but we'd like you to hang on so that if people have questions that you could elaborate a little further, but we don't want to overwhelm them with
sure.
the numbers right yet. So hang on there a little, and
okay.
let's just all just say we really appreciate you as a volunteer, someone who doesn't have to sit through those meetings, but who's willing to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be talking to David Gans. We're going to be talking to David Gans. A lot of you listen to David Gans pretty regularly. He's one of our longtime broadcasters, and he's also been lately just elected to the local station board as a staff representative, and he's also a member of the unpaid staff organization at KPFA. So we wanted to ask you, David, a little bit about the UPSO that we hear so much controversy about, but also want to ask you first, how much money did you manage to raise on that incredible marathon where you wore yourself down to the nub and got actually sick?
I did nothing of the kind. Come on now. I had a great time on that day. I always have a great time on marathon day. There's nothing exhausting about it. We raised $58,000 on that day with the help of several other online channels and Grateful Dead organizations and stuff. It was really a wonderful day.
I know the listeners enjoyed it, and KPFA's enjoying that you were able to serve as a model for everybody else to see how we can really keep the station afloat. So tell us about the UPSO and your involvement with that, and what are you able to do, and how is the UPSO able to help represent all our volunteers at the station?
I don't know yet, Pam.
I
ran for a position on the unpaid staff organization council because I feel like after 25 years of being a programmer on KPFA and being a bystander through all of this incredible stuff that's gone on over the years, I thought it was my time to step up and do my civic duty and actually participate in it. But I'm just beginning to get my, you know, a real grasp on what's going on in the station. And there's a lot of stuff that gets talked about. But, you know, it's hard to focus in on what, you know, the life and death issues are. And I don't yet know what the, what I think the unpaid staff organization can do, let alone what it should do.
And well, that's the, I guess, the number one question. What should it do? And then if there's anything it can do of those. How many people do you say average come to the meetings?
Well, it varies. We had a very well-attended meeting a few weeks ago at which we met our now former manager, Amit Pandial, and our interim program director, Carrie Kaur. That was a very well-attended meeting. Some of the unpaid staff organization council meetings generally have, you know, fewer than a dozen people. So it's kind of hard to get a sense of what the organization or what the community of unpaid workers needs, because that so few of them have participated in the dialogue so far. So, you know, there's a certain amount of organization that needs to take place, and I don't exactly know how to make that happen. And that's just a microcosm of what needs to happen at everywhere, on every level at KPFA and among every level, you know. I see the unpaid staff as allies, friends, and colleagues of the paid staff, and I think that that's an operating principle, you know, a position we should be operating from.
Well, we appreciate all your work on this, because not only are you a member of the board, which we know is a difficult thing, and we also know that you're trying to work with UPSO to help it get reorganized, and you're a broadcaster, and your show, Dead to the World, tell us when it's on again.
Wednesday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. And by the way, I have a very special programming note. I'm on my way home from Colorado right now, and my listening matter for this long, long drive is a six-hour interview I did with Owsley Stanley, the great legendary bear, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, died in a car accident in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be broadcasting a couple of hours of this amazing conversation from the late Owsley Stanley.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to that. Don't forget, everyone, tune in, as you should always be tuned in to KPFA, but Wednesday night at 8 p.m.
What she said.
Thank you for being on the air with us, David, and taking some extra time. And now, before we go to the break, I want to announce that we will be taking listener call-ins, and we'll also hear from Henry Knorr, another station board member. The number, get ready to hit this into your BlackBerry or whatever you got, 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008. And we'll be right back. In the other studio, Henry Knorr, who's been also a local station board member for the last year or so that I've been on the board. Henry, do you want to tell us something about what's going on at KPFA?
Well, thank you, Pam. I've actually been a member of the board now as a listener rep for 4+ years.
Wow.
I'm in my second term. You know, it's obviously a very difficult time for the station, but there are some bright signs. Financial situation is still extremely difficult. People need to be aware that we're just barely, you know, teetering on the brink financially. But on the bright side, we have a new interim general manager who I hope will be with us longer than our past people filling that position. He seems to be a very dynamic, energetic guy with a lot of ideas about how to improve the station. And we have a new interim, or not quite so new anymore. Our interim program director has been here for a couple of months and also is working hard on really what the most important thing, which is, I think, livening up our programming, bringing some needed changes in an orderly way, and improving on what's best and bringing in some new ideas and new voices. So I'm looking forward to that on the board level. I'm certainly hoping that the that this mediated retreat that we've voted for can make our work more pleasant and more productive.
Well, and I agree with you on that, and we'll all cross our fingers and work real hard to make that work. And I'm glad that you mentioned some of the folks here that are new. Andrew Phillips is our new interim general manager, took the place of Amit Pendyal, who was here for about a month. And so we hope that Andrew will be able to hang in there, and we've already all met with him, so that's a good thing. So we do want to give some time now to the listeners to call in, and before we get started and give you a little more background on who's on the board, how it works, that kind of stuff, just briefly. We have a local station board with 26 members. 6 are elected from the staff, 18 are elected from the listeners. A representative from our sister station also sits on the board, KFCF, and KPFA's general manager, who sits on the board but cannot vote on the board. The board does not run the station, so whatever you ask us, we have to pass it on, because we are not in charge of the station, but we are charged with having some oversight on how the station is being managed and trying our best to help it run smoothly. It's been quite a challenge lately. We've been challenged as a board to be sure that we're heard. So that's one of the issues going on. There's a lot, and you know it's not a secret. So just keep in mind that we don't know the answers to all your questions. We'll do our best to either answer them or pass on your questions and concerns so the people who can answer them. Let me give you those call-in numbers again. I hope we got some people on the line. 510-848-4425 or 1-800-958-9008. Oh, we do have somebody on the line, Mark in Berkeley. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I participated in the last election, and I spent a lot of time trying to study the issues. And as I understand it, I believe one of the big issues was how much funding was going out of the local area here to help out other Pacifica stations. Now, I just want to say I'd like some clarity on that, exactly, you know, that particular issue. But I just also want to say I generally support the Pacifica Network as a national entity, but I am concerned about the amount of pledging that has taken over the local. I was disappointed that we lost some of our people, and I sort of understand why. But I was also concerned that the person who did let them go makes at least 2 to 3 times as much money as I do. And I've been in my trade for 40 years. I'm considered like one of the best. So, you know, I just wanted some insight into how the finances of Pacifica and the local station and how it came out in the last election. Thank you.
Okay, well, those are good questions, Mark. Hopefully, we still have Barbara on the line. Maybe she can tell us something a little bit about where the money goes that comes into the pledges and how much of it leaves our local station, how much of it goes to Pacifica or to other stations, as I think the question was. Barbara?
Yes. Well, there is a set percentage, 19.5%, that's taken out of most of the donations that come into the station. Certainly all of the donations that come in during on-air fundraising goes to the national office to do this joint management and paying of bills and to pay their salaries. There is also a system of the stations loaning each other money when one station's funds are in a little better condition than another. And that is one of the things that I referred to earlier when I was talking about last September. KPFA couldn't pay its payroll. It borrowed $12,500 from another station and paid it back the next month. However, at the end of September, KPFA loaned one of the other stations $18,000. And I don't believe we have that returned to us yet. There are types of donations that come into the station that are not subject to the 19.5%. Some of those are some grants or just funds that come in between on-air fundraising.
Okay, well, thank you for that information, Barbara. I'm not sure we could answer the whole question, but we...
Yeah, not either.
And now we have Rich in Oakland. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi, this is just an access question, and what I mean by that is I'm really happy this program you're having today. I'm usually at work and can't listen to it, and I heard Margie, sort of say how we could get to it through the website. And if what I would like to see is either the program get repeated either in the evening or on the weekend sometime once a month after the regular, you know, Monday once a month show, and also that it get publicized, maybe with the outreach people, something like that. Because the last couple, three LSB meetings I've been to, I've learned a lot. You know, their regular meetings are really hard. You learn a lot, and they're really hard to sit through. But I just think a lot more people need to know what this program is doing. You know, this today is very informative. It's very clear, but I think most people just can't listen right now. So record it, like, now whenever you can, and then figure out some way to either replay it or rebroadcast it, even if it's just over the web where it's very clear how to get to it. That's good. Thank you.
Okay, Margie's got a couple words about that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for that suggestion, and we certainly will take it up with the powers that be. And we do plan to have this program as a regular program the last Monday of every month at 1 o'clock. And I believe that this program will be archived for 14 days or something like that. So there is an opportunity to listen to it on the web. Of course, you wouldn't be able to call in then, but you would be able to hear what we have to report. And we appreciate your suggestion. We'll take it up.
Okay, so next, Ted is calling from Fresno. Good place to call from, Ted. Give us a call. Tell us what you're thinking about.
Thanks for taking my call. I was one of the supporters who was crushed when the morning show was taken off the air. There's been a lot of discussion about that, so I guess we don't need to rehash that today. At the time that, you know, I dove into this topic, there was a lot of discussion about what terrible financial straits everything was in and how the Pacifica Foundation was struggling and how they, you know, had to borrow money to do this and do that. And so I went to the Pacifica Foundation website and tried to use the links to the budget and various reports that were supposed to be there. And what I found is that the very simple and I would describe as antiquated website was broken, that there were links to budgets that didn't work. There were links to reports that weren't there. And after a couple of hours of frustration, I came away with the concept that the Pacifica Foundation and, by extension, the people on the board that were pushing to, among other things, kill the morning show, were trying to hide information. I was very frustrated by the lack of openness about what's going on with the program. This is why we have to make these difficult decisions. I'm an engineer with an MBA. You know, I can do Excel. I mean, I was looking to do some analysis of what's going on. Why is this stuff going on? Why is the financial problem occurring? And there was no information available to me. So I would like to see more openness. I'd like to see the board and the actions of management when they take draconian measures to fully inform all the people that are affected, which is, you know, the KPFA supporters like myself.
Yeah, well, I think you've made some good points, Ted, and I think part of the problem in terms of the KPFA link or the Pacifica link, I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but I know we've had some webmaster problems, and so that may be part of the problem. And we got I think Henry wants to comment, and maybe Barbara can comment a little bit on how we can, as the LSB at least, post something that's more readable and gets people to this information a little faster. Henry, you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you. A couple of comments. One is that I completely agree that our websites, both the certainly Pacifica National website and the KPFA website, are way too difficult, and it's too hard to find the information that you're looking for. I'm personally hoping, I've been on the technology committee for a number of years. I worked very hard last year on a report that urges the foundation and the stations, including KPFA, to invest more in their websites, even at a time when we're strapped for resources for our primary broadcast mission. I do believe we have to bring our websites into the 21st century. As far as the financial picture goes, I think it's important for everybody listening to remember that even though you hear people talking constantly about how we're in a financial crisis, and I think sometimes people cease to believe it because they hear it so much, but the reality is that it remains the case. I mean, we are still, through February of this year, we're still spending more than our reduced budget. We're spending more on salaries and benefits. So that's really than was budgeted. That's very unfortunate. It's too bad. We're hoping, and I think Andrew Phillips, our new IGM, has some ideas about new ways to think about fundraising. Hopefully we can start raising more money, but the reality is that over the last 5 years or so, our income has declined steadily. Our expenses have not declined until very recently, have not declined significantly. A lot of costs keep going up. And that's why we've had to have cutbacks. So we've got to turn that picture around. We've got to stabilize the finances, bring our expenses into line with our income for now, and then work very, very hard at finding new ways to boost our income, bring in new listeners. As Andrea said earlier, that is really the key. The reality is we're not going to be able to keep squeezing more money out of the same audience. So we've got to expand our audience. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Barbara, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, I agree with Henry about the fact that the websites are not as current as they could be. However, KPFA, our secretary has been very successful, the secretary for the LSB, in getting lots of information up there in a more timely fashion. I know when I search for information on Pacifica's website, it's quite amazing how behind it is. It's as though it really hasn't been tended for quite a long time. And I encourage people to go to the top of the menu for the KPFA website, and under About, you'll find a link to the LSB pages. And as far as Henry's statement about us spending more on salaries than we're budgeted, I'm not so sure that's really exactly what's happening. There are many ways to twist the money around and look at things differently, and I don't have the pages in front of me to refute what he's saying. I do know that there was a recent hire done by the national office on our budget of someone who's paid more than was budgeted, and that was not the doing of anybody at KPFA. So I think that statement needs a little more exposition.
Can I just respond very quickly?
Let's go real quick, because we do have listeners waiting.
Okay, I don't want to argue with Barbara. I appreciate her efforts, but I am reading right off a spreadsheet that you handed out at the last LSB meeting, which shows that our actual year-to-date, fiscal 2011 year-to-date expenses exceed our income, and specifically our expenses for salaries and benefits exceed the budgeted amount by $61,871. I'm not trying to make a factional issue. I'm reading off this document that you distributed to us, Barbara.
Is this the spreadsheet with all the colorful columns?
Yes.
Okay. Then the next thing we need to look at is when does income hit our books? And as you know, with the differing fundraising periods, sometimes the funds don't get into the spreadsheet, but they are going into the bank. So it is something that does go up and down.
Okay, well, thank you, Barbara, for that. And I got to just add, I know that we're trying to keep this very mellow as we can and fair and everything, but it is true that we didn't understand that someone was going to be hired, even after the layoffs, above the pay grade that was originally assigned. And it was based on the idea that it is more expensive to live in the Bay Area, which is also true for our existing staff. So I want to go to the next caller, Paul in Livermore. Paul, go ahead.
Hi. Boy, on a slightly lighter note, hopefully, I'm thinking you should have a, like, once a month talent show where young people call in. Well, this day and age, I think they can just plug in or something. I don't know how it works, but, and then you can license the ones that get these big contracts. How many talent shows have produced big Elvis Presley, for one, I think.
Okay, well, I like that idea, and we will pass that on.
I have one more.
Okay, can you make it quick? We've got some more speakers.
Agriculture. I buy KPFA lettuce. You betcha. You take right down Sacramento Street that it's just grass.
Okay, thanks a lot. I think we got some gardeners in there, so maybe we'll see about that. Norma in Berkeley, would you like to give a question or a comment?
You're calling me Norma, right? Okay.
Is that your name?
That is I.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh. A couple things. The first one is that I have said for a long time, and there is always the answer, we can't do it, we don't have the funds, but I think the allocation needs to be made nevertheless. Want money, be where people are doing whatever they're doing. Have broadcasting equipment on scene at everybody's action on the ground, then people will want to contribute money because they're involved rather than ignored. And I'm talking about the most basic grassroots kind of behavior. Code Pink meets regularly. All kinds of organizations. I was at a meeting yesterday where there were 30 people, I'm sure each of whom was connected to some kind of action that is directed at our interests. And along with that, I need to let people know the following. I had some mail. Steve Zeltzer, you probably all know who that is, posted some information with regard to yesterday's meeting here in Berkeley. And one of the things he said was there was an uncritical interview with a market risk analysis analyst, in quotes, who heavily promoted nuclear power. Now, you get that it was uncritical. Somebody who interviewed the person didn't say anything about promoting nuclear power. Then a week later, they got to listen to a wealthy Haitian art collector bash exiled Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. The content of our programming has to be revolutionary. If it's not, it's not serving the purposes implied by pacifism. Peace is not a call. It's insubstantial. It has to be about what we're about, how we got this way, and where we need to go. If we're not talking, when music goes on, we have to say this music contributes to the revolutionary struggle because of this and that. Otherwise, it doesn't need to be on this show. And there are other shows that have the similar kind of content that need to point in the direction that we need. We need the work that goes on at KPFA.
Norma, I think you made some really good points, and Margie's going to respond to you because we got some more listeners, but I was very interested in your points.
Hi. I just want to say that the local station board doesn't run the station, doesn't decide the content of programming, but we are responsible for reminding the people who do run the station that we have to stick to the principles of Pacifica. And while I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea that we have divergent views, we really have to have divergent views. In other words, I heard the market analyst who supported nuclear energy, and I don't think that was a bad thing. What was bad was that there was no response and no challenge to his ideas. And I was concerned about that. And I think that's something we have to keep in mind in terms of, you know, how we use the airwaves, that we're responsible for making sure are used effectively.
I think a number of people, I've heard a number of people talk about that. I didn't hear it, but the thing about RSD that was anti-RSD was kind of shocking. And like I said, we're not in charge of the programming. We'll go on. We have Lynn in Berkeley. Lynn, are you there?
I am. Thanks for taking the call. I'll try to do it quickly. Because I've been a long-time subscriber, and I actually stopped my monthly contribution, which I had done for about 15 years, because of the manner, the draconian manner in which I feel the morning show was taken off, and absolutely no explanation to us who pay the bills. And so I stopped my monthly contribution. The best thing I say I heard today was that the new chairman of the LSB got a unanimous decision. Sounds like a miracle to me, and I want to thank you for that. And my biggest question with the board or for the treasurer is, why are we paying that much money to Pacifica? I mean, when I first started listening, we were doing about 8%. And I don't understand why that's gone up so much higher. Because if we have to tighten our belts, I don't understand why that's not also on the Pacifica level. I haven't seen that they've lost staffing in the way that we have. So that's my question. And my one other big complaint that I had, is not so much with what's being broadcast on KPFA, but that the fact that they have a full-time programmer with a regular show on the New York station who is an AIDS denier. It's one thing for everyone to have their opinion, but to have someone constantly broadcasting that is a great distress to me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And maybe we can get Barbara. I don't know if, Barbara, you know the history of the payments to Pacifica.
Well, I don't exactly know the history, and that's what I was going to say, is that this percentage was established some time ago. It is one of the things that I'm... there are many things I said I want to research. It's one of the things I'd like to research and explain better for the LSB and anybody who listens to the recordings of the meetings or attends. And I think it is rather high. I have to say that the national office has cut back on staff. They have not cut the salaries of the two top earners in the office, the executive director and the chief financial officer. And I think there must be a lot of stress on the few employees they do have left in that office to maintain the work that they're doing. I know that they are working very hard. When KPFA made cuts in staffing, or actually hours, they've reduced hours of the staff on who produce the radio programs are reducing their hours in order to accommodate each other, try to keep people working. Most of them have cut hours. There's been, I think, one programmer who did not cut hours but had one of his staff left. But it's true, we're struggling with the cuts. As far as the WBAI program, there was a shock and protest in the LSB, and maybe the chair would like to say something about that. It's not the business of KPFA to direct what goes on at WBAI, and I think it did involve the ability to raise a lot of money.
Well, thanks, Barbara. And Henry Knorr wanted to also give a response to this caller.
Yes, thank you. About the central services, I mean, the thing that I think people need to understand is that the central services, that money really goes for shared expenses. Specifically, a lot of it goes to pay for Democracy Now!, which I think most people agree is one of the best, if not the best, programs that we have on our air. Also for FSRN, also for things that are necessary bureaucratic costs, like paying the auditor that we have to, we are required to have an audit of our finances every year, paying for insurance and things like that. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't opportunities for savings, but as Barbara pointed out, the national office also has made huge cutbacks. Everybody in Pacifica has already made huge cutbacks. Part of the reason that the Pacifica website is such a mess is that they had to get rid of most of their technical staff. The people who used to work on the website have mostly been laid off. So it's not as if the rest of the network or the national office is living in luxury and overstaffed and fat and comfortable while KPFA suffers. On the contrary, all the other stations and the national office made cutbacks over the last few years much sooner than KPFA did. In fact, the KPFA's slowness in bringing its expenses in line with its income are part of the reason that the whole foundation is actually still not very far from the brink of bankruptcy.
Well, okay, thank you, Henry. I have to add, we do have one more caller, so I hope we can get him in, and then we'll probably run out of time. I do agree that I hope we would never have an AIDS denier on the air here at KPFA. I don't think the listeners would tolerate that, and we do want to hold on to our listeners. And in terms of the way the Pacifica folks are handling the cuts, I have to add that I did recently find out that we have, I think, five people at Pacifica who are getting paid, who are charging $170 a month for their own parking, and none of the other staff has that. And that's kind of something that maybe we could have that money for webmaster. I don't know. But we do have Harry, hopefully, still on the line in San Francisco.
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to suggest, first of all, that it would be nice to have an iPod, iPhone app that people could tune in. I frequently find the live broadcast is down online for whatever reason. And for some reason, KPFA isn't on the iTunes directory, and even KUSF, which is no longer on the air, is on there. So somebody could work on that. Maybe there's a volunteer out there who knows how to do that. And also, I wanted to know if Brian Edwards' hatred coming back meant that John Hamilton was fired or if that was separate. Also, I think that there's a lack of local coverage, especially, like, for example, they're privatizing the Arboretum here in the Inner Sunset, and it's really hard to get coverage of local issues. I wish, like, more opportunities for people to call in and more local coverage.
Hey, and thank you. We are almost out of time, and Margie wants to answer your question, and then we'll be finished. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that question. I don't know anything about iPhone apps, but we certainly will ask. And volunteers are always welcome. If there's anybody out there who wants to help us with the webpage, we'd be happy to hear from you. And you can contact us on the KPFA webpage or by leaving a message for us on the LSB line at 510-848-6767. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody. Oh, about John Hamilton. I'm sorry. Yes, Brian was laid off, and Brian Edwards Tigert was laid off. It was alleged by the union that he was laid off out of seniority order. Through negotiations between the union and management, it was agreed that he would be rehired. Management then subsequently decided to lay off John Hamilton.
I think that's all the time we have right now, and we're going to have to go out now. And thank you so much for listening to this month's Local Station Board Show. Our guests were Board Treasurer Barbara Whipperman, Chairman of the Local Station Board, Margie Wilkinson, Pacifica National Board Representative Dan Siegel, listener reps Andrea Pritchett, David Gans, and Henry Knorr, and I've been your host, Pamela Drick. I'm also a listener representative on the board. Thanks to Erica Bridgman, who engineered the show, and Laura Privis, who helped produce the show. There is more information about the local station board at kpfa.org/LSB. If you want to see the board in action or give us a piece of your mind or ask more questions, you can come to our next regular meeting. It's Saturday, April 16th, at 11 a.m. We'll have to announce the space that we're going to use. Okay, thanks again. Phone in to KPFA 510-848-6767, extension 635 with any comments. I'm Pamela Drake. Talk to you later. About Health is coming up next. Stay tuned. For all of us, there's enough. For all of us, there's enough. For all of us, there's enough.